Hey, thank you so much for being here this morning. My name's Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here at UR Community Church, and it's so good to have you here with us today. This is a very special day for us. Pastor Gabe's made it very clear about all the things we're kind of celebrating and excited about, the fact that we are a brand new church, and God's doing some new stuff and some neat stuff here on this corner of Moss Springs Road. And I just think back all the things that have kind of gone on here. Because, see, we may be a new church, but this isn't the first time, and it isn't the beginning of ministry here. I think back 45 years ago, that for some of you, that seems like a really long time. For some of us, it doesn't seem like such a long time. We don't like to think of it being very long, but it is. It's a long time. This church was born about 6 months, 7 months after I was. Actually, 10 months now, I guess I think about it. But the fact is that here on this corner, something's been going on for quite a while. You see, what we are celebrating is the start of a brand new church for you are a community church, but really what we're celebrating is the continuation of ministry here. Because there was a group of people who had a vision for a ministry here that would reach this community, that would do something for this community that God had called them to do. And so in the basement of Cornelius and Margie Jones, that this church, the vision for this church began. A group of people meeting in their basement began a church called East Albemarle Baptist. And they came here and they bought some land, they built a building, and they began to do ministry. And God did awesome stuff through their ministry. And they were able to see lives change and just some really neat things. And there's still some lives in this room right now that were changed because of that ministry. And then 3 years ago, God kind of shifted a little bit, and he brought a church called High Rock Church to Albemarle. And they were able to merge together with East Albemarle. And again, God continued to do things, see great things happen, lives changed, people, you know, being your marriages brought back together, and people freed from addictions. And just God was doing good stuff. And so we celebrate what he did for 3 years of High Rock being here on this corner. But then through some circumstances, God then continued his perfect plan. See, it wasn't his plan that was getting messed up or was changing. It was just the continuation of it. It was not a problem at all, just that he had something new to do. And so here we find ourselves as you are a community church. And so we're here to continue on just what's been going on. And so I think about it, and as I look out in the crowd, I see so many faces that God has done something so cool through East Albemarle, through High Rock, and even now through Uari. And so can we just take a moment and give God some applause and some thank you for what he's done? Now, I'm pretty sure we've already broken the applause meter for Baptist churches in one service, and that's okay. We're going to keep on going. That's just good stuff, because listen, if we don't celebrate who God is, you know, when Jesus taught us how to pray in the scriptures, the first thing we did was that he wanted us to do was acknowledge who God was. And so when we forget to be thankful and forget to acknowledge who he is, then we can find ourselves in some very bad spots. I've had conversations just today with people who said, you know what, the thing that changed my life was I wasn't focused on God anymore. That's the only thing that changed. The jobs didn't change, you know, all that stuff. And so I found myself far away from him and not where I needed to be. And so we need to always give him thanks, and we need to always be willing to applaud him and praise him for who he is, because he is absolutely worth it. And we need to make sure that we do that. So here we are, celebrating this neat thing that God is doing. Yesterday we had a great day out there on the lawn, just a bunch of, you know, bounce houses, people going on, you know, kids having a great time, great food. I'm still waterlogged from that doggone Dunkin' booth. I've realized there's a lot more people around here that have a vendetta against the pastor than I thought. Because you guys wore me out in that thing. So anyway, we had a great time yesterday, and we're going to continue on today. After the service, we're going to go out there and eat, like Pastor Gabe talked about earlier, and we want you all to stay. You're all invited to be here and be part of that, because we just want to continue to celebrate. We want to continue to focus on where God has us and what he wants to do next in our lives. And so I'm glad that you're here, and so we'll continue that on. But since we're starting and celebrating a brand new church, I felt like it was a great place to be to begin to talk about who we are. If you're going to start something new and you're going to do something new, you need to define what that is. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks as we talk about who we are as a church, as believers in Christ and as just people searching for something that is missing in our lives. And so we're going to begin to do that. And this series is talking about the church, talking about who the church is really supposed to be, not just you are a community church, but the Big C church that we're a part of, the one that Christ died for and the one that he established. And so we need to go back and look at who that church is meant to be. Now, listen, some of you I know today are maybe here because I see some faces that are new. I see some faces that I haven't seen in quite a long time. And so here we are. Some of you may be here this morning, and when I begin to talk about church, that stirs up some feelings. It stirs up some experiences that you've had in the past when somebody defined church for you and it wasn't what made you feel good about church. It wasn't an experience that you believed was what God wanted it to be. And so what we're not going to talk about in this series is what the church has become, all right? Because I believe the church has gotten off track in a lot of ways, and it's become something very negative to so many people. So I don't want to talk about what it's become, because that just continues on and where it's at. So I want to talk about what it was supposed to be in the very beginning. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at scripture that talks about the establishment of the church, this recording of it. And so as we do it, we're going to read a lot of scripture today. All right. So this is not very typical. It is typical we read scripture, don't get me wrong. But we're going to read a lot of it, because there's some of it I just can't say better than the scriptures. I can't tell you any more than what it says. So we're going to read it. And so today you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. You're going to have to focus along. And so today, if you brought your Bibles with you or your phone app or whatever, get to the book of Acts. We're going to start in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. If you have YouVersion Live, make sure you pull that up. If you don't have YouVersion Live, there are some instructions at the very top of the back of your program that allow you to be able to have that and follow along with us as well. So that's a really cool way to do that. But listen, let me just say this. If you don't have a Bible with you today because you don't have a Bible, then don't leave here without one. Let us get you one. We have one out there for you. If you already have a Bible, don't go get another one, because we want to give these to people that don't have God's Word. But make sure today, don't leave here if you don't have access to a Bible at home or anything. We want you to have that. It's our gift. So don't make sure that you don't leave without it. But as we're looking at this, we're going to talk about this establishment of the church. And here at UWARI, listen, we're not going to talk a lot about us. It's really easy to talk about your church, the name of your church, and associate everything with that. We're not going to talk about UWARI Community Church a lot. We're going to talk about Jesus. Because listen, that's the foundation of the church. He is. He is the one that we need to look to find out who we're supposed to be, both as a church and as individuals. We need to be able to follow him there, because it's who we believe him to be that establishes that for us, so that we don't have to get lost in what the church has become. We don't have to get lost in what everybody else is making church. We can focus on him to be the foundation of what the church is truly supposed to be. So we're going to spend time on that. Who are we, and who are we supposed to be? When we talk about that here, for us specifically, there are some core values, though, that we're going to hold to as you are a community. We are going to hold to these very tightly. See, you are a community church exists to help people develop a love for God, a love for other people, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. That's our mission. And that makes us focus on three very important things. On worship. We need to worship God for who he truly is. Not for who we've made him up to be, not for who we want him to be. We need to praise him and worship him for who he truly is in every area of our lives. He doesn't need to be worshiped as our credit fixer. He doesn't need to be worried about us as our problem fixer. He can fix your problems, but that's not how we should focus on him. We need to focus him on the creator who made us, every single one of us, for a purpose. We need to look at that in every area of our lives. The second part of that is that we need to talk about community. How we fit into this community. If we're going to love other people, we got to do more than just live in a community. We need to be part of the community, and we need to be part of meeting the needs of our community. That's physical, that's emotional, that's mental, and certainly it's spiritual. So we're going to focus on worship, we're going to focus on community, and we're going to focus on mission. And that means that we're going to take it seriously when it comes to telling people about who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. We're all going to be challenged on a regular basis to make sure that we've got people in our lives that we're sharing our testimony with. Listen, what good is it if we're not sharing it? And so we need to be taking it serious, the fact that we've been put here to tell people about Jesus. That's who we are going to be. But we need to look at that very seriously, because that takes the focus completely off of us, right? If we talk about God and we talk about other people and telling other people about Jesus, and guess what? That's not focused on us. And I believe that's one of the foundations of who the church is supposed to be. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. And we need to drive that home and be able to hold on to that. Now, we're going to start with a little cliche here, because if we're going to talk about where we are going, we need to look back at where we've been. If you're going to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. And the church has a very, very systematic establishment. And Luke is going to tell us all about that here in the book of Acts. Now, this is Luke, who also wrote the book of the Bible called Luke. See, the Bible's really not that hard sometimes, right? I mean, I can even figure out Luke wrote the book of Luke, all right? So we're going to talk about what he laid out for us about this establishment, the events that took place. Now, as we look at the book of Luke, we find the ministry layout of Jesus. Here we're going to find the ministry layout of the church. And so we're going to learn a lot from him. The biggest thing that we're going to find here is that the church has always been God's vehicle for communicating his love to people. It was always his plan to have the church so that he could communicate that love to every single person that would listen. Every single person that could have access to it, the church would be that vehicle that takes the gospel and tells people about it. See, the problem is that the church, guess what it's made up of? Us, yeah. It's made up of people. And guess what people do to God's plan all the time? I won't say what you just said, you know, because somebody will get all mad and probably send me an email. But we mess it up. It wasn't really bad, but we mess it up royally most of the time. Because guess what? We're messed up people. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. Whether we stand on the stage, we sit in the chair, whether we get coffee, whatever it is, we all make mistakes. And so when it comes to this plan for the church, people have taken it and they've turned it around. That's why we have to know who we are. We got to dig deep into that, be able to find out what we are to do. See, the human side of the start of the church didn't come from this beautiful, you know, picture or this layout that God did. It really came out of a bunch of people saying, now what? You know, we get ourselves in a mess, and what do? We say, now what? Well, what do I do? Anybody in here have a now what moment? Anybody? Yeah, I have a bunch of them. I got a whole list of them I can share with you sometime where I, you know, found myself in this place and saying, now what? You know, if you're married in here, you came home from that honeymoon, you know what? And guess what? That other person, they didn't go home. You know, you used to get like, you know, it's time for the game. You say, yeah, honey, I know you're tired. You need to go home. No, now they are home and they stay, right? They don't go anywhere. And so you got this now what? Now what do I do with it? I can't watch the game because she's here, you know? It's messing me up. Yeah, HGTV is Satan, I'm just telling you. No, anyway, I'm just kidding. But the thing is that you got a now what moment. What about when you brought your first baby home? You know, any parents in the house? All right, you brought that baby home. You know, it was kind of cool at the hospital, because at the hospital, you know, they take it away from you. Did I say something? Oh, I was just, she's cracking me up over there. So you bring, you know, at the hospital, they wheel her away or him away from you for a little while. They bring it back, and they've already changed the diaper for you. You know, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to say, now what, with that. And so, you know, all this kind of stuff. They even taught you how to wrap it up like the little burrito, you know, and all of that stuff. You know, they take care of you at the hospital. But then you had to put that little baby. Yeah. Man, my parenting skills are coming out. You put that baby in the seat, you strap it in your car, you bring it home, you put it on the couch, and you say, Now what? Now I got to do all this stuff, right? So we understand that, but you know, for maybe my wife is doing something, I know. So I was nice to her in the whole honeymoon thing, see. But anyway, but the truth is, we've all been there. Maybe it was just you graduated from school, and then you were like, now what? If it was high school, you're like, now what? Do I go to college? Do I get a job? If it was college, you're like, now do I get a job because I got this degree that means nothing and nobody will hire me? Now what? You know, I know what that's like. You know, to find it, you spend all that money on a degree that nobody really cares about, but you did for 4 years and now it doesn't do you any good. Now, but maybe it's whatever can happen. You know, maybe you lost a job. And then you were like, now what? How do I pay the bills? How do I take care of my family? Maybe you lost somebody that you love, that was important to you, that was valuable in your life, that was just such a central part that now they're gone and you go, now what? Now what? We've all had those moments. They might not all look the same, but we've had them. See, the disciples had that same kind of moment. Jesus had come to earth and he had hung out with them and he'd made them feel important. He'd gathered this team of people that were nothing like him, who they all had different things going on. They didn't smell good all the time. They didn't talk right. They didn't have these degrees. They didn't have all this stuff around them. But he brought those 12 together, and he said, listen, I'm going to teach you how to live your life. I'm going to teach you how to do ministry. We're going to teach a lot of people, but I want you to be part of what's going on. And so these disciples now are a key part of what's going on in Jesus' life, in his ministry. But then he's teaching them this. He's making them feel welcome. And all of a sudden, guess what? He dies. This guy who's accepted them, who's made them feel important, he dies. And he doesn't just die a regular old death. No, he dies a brutal, horrible death where he's beaten and then hung on a cross. And then he's put from there into a borrowed tomb. And guess what? These guys who had felt so important and felt like they were going to be part of this kingdom he had talked about and all of this stuff, they were now standing there going, now what? Now what do we do? See, God in his plan, though, didn't leave Jesus dead. On the third day, he raised him again. And so now he's back with the disciples. So they've got him back, so now he's there. So again, they're going, you know, the tone's changed, but the question's the same. Now what? Now what do we do? And so today we're going to pick up this account of Jesus and the disciples and what the answer to the now what was for him. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be there at Acts chapter 1. Listen to what the scripture says. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. See, he's raised from the dead and he spends 40 days showing up at places, teaching them things that they need to know. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They're looking for this thing that he's promised that they're so waiting for. Verse 7, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates, and they are not for you to know. You ever kept asking somebody a question, and they say, shh, stop. Leave me alone. Stop. You don't need to know that yet. Just stop asking. That's what Jesus is doing, right? Because these guys they're getting on his nerves because he's got something bigger to tell them than just about this kingdom that they want to see. So he's stopping them there. Verse 8, but you, says Jesus, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I know people get freaked out when we read the words Holy Spirit, or you hear somebody talk about the Holy Ghost. All right, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is an integral part of us being who God wants us to be. That it is God himself who comes to live inside of us and guide us and show us. And Jesus says when the Spirit enters you, when you accept him and become a follower of his, then the Spirit is there and you receive power. Listen, if the church is missing anything that it's supposed to have today, I believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. No wonder we can't reach anybody. No wonder we can't do anything because we're so scared of the Spirit that we are missing out on Jesus being all that he wants to be in our lives. And we need to get over that, and we need to understand who the Spirit is to be for us. It's to be the power of Jesus working in our lives. And Jesus says, you'll receive him. Then, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. You need to circle that word everywhere. It's not just on Moss Springs Road. It's everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. Jesus told these men he was going to establish a kingdom here on earth. They wanted to be part of it. So they wanted to have their place in it. And so he tells them this, and they begin to believe in him. They understand who he is, and then he dies. He's gone. He's buried. Then he's raised back to life. They hang out with him for 40 days, and then he's gone again. They watch him disappear this time. And these guys show up beside him. We believe they're angels, and they're like, what in the world are you looking up into heaven for? You know what they were looking up into heaven for? They were looking up into heaven and asking the question, now what? Now what? You're gone. Now what do we do? So I don't know about what you do when you have a now what moment, but for me, I disappear. I get out of sight. I get out of view from it. I just go find me a place. I hide, you know, just so I can pray, so I can read, and so I can just focus on who God wants me to be and what that true now what is. And that's exactly what the disciples do here. They find themselves hiding in this place. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Now, the gift of tongues is one of those things that we wrestle with in the church today. Is it a true gift? Is it not a true gift? Should we practice it? Should we not practice it? Let me just tell you, I believe that it is a true gift. It's in the Scriptures. We just saw Jesus, the Spirit laid it out on people at the day of Pentecost. And I believe that there are other examples of that. I believe it's a gift. I also believe that the Scripture is very clear that it's a gift with a ton of responsibility, with a ton of requirements that we need to make sure that we are focused on, that it's not about us being heard in some other language, but it's about being heard in the language that God gives us. Now, you don't have to speak another language for God to hear you. You need to understand that. When you pray, you need to pray in the language that God gives you. I found myself many times in meetings and prayer meetings where people began to speak in tongues, and they've said, hey, just pray in the tongue that God's given you. Well, guess what? You're hearing that tongue. It's the same one that he gives me on an everyday basis. Doesn't diminish the power, doesn't diminish the results. It doesn't diminish what they are doing either in the Spirit, as long as they're meeting the needs that God has laid out for us. Paul's very clear that there are some things that need to happen if people are going to speak in tongues for it to be effective. Otherwise, the Scripture is very clear, too, that it can be a distraction. So that's why we don't practice it here in our general worship services. And you know, if you have that gift and you practice it, that's great. But we just don't do it in our regular services because we don't want to confuse other people. And so that's where the speaking in tongues comes from. That's where that whole debate is about and all that. But let me tell you, speaking in tongues is a non-essential when it comes to people spending eternity in heaven and hell. And we need to quit getting hung up on that. We need to go tell people about Jesus and not argue between each other about whether we can speak in tongues or not. All right, so that was free. All right, I won't charge you for that. But we need to be together as we begin to talk about it. Now here's Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to what it goes on to say. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you. Fellow Jews and the residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Now, I don't know about you, but I know some people that 9 o'clock wasn't so early for them, okay? All right? I know back in the day, we're at the lake or whatever, some people get started a little early. So hopefully that's not you today, but if it is, then I'm glad you're here, because I want you to hear what Jesus has to say. But he goes on. Verse 16, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. All right, so there's some clear things that God's going to do in the lives of his people. Verse 22. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grips. Listen, church, when those scriptures are read, we should go nuts. There are so many scriptures that when they're read or they're talked about, man, as the church, as a believer in Jesus and who he is, man, that should be, listen, I know what you're going to do when the Panthers play today. Some of y'all are going to go crazy. Maybe they'll do something to let you do that. Just saying. I had to get it in there. But the truth is, you're going to go nuts for the Panthers. But you hear something about Jesus being raised from the dead and released from the grip of death, which means you have the opportunity to do that, and you sit still and be quiet. I'm just saying. Now, we're not clapping because that's true. We're clapping because you understand it. That's what we're clapping about. We're clapping because Jesus has been freed from death, and what that means for me and you, that when we become a believer in him, we're freed as well. That we're freed for all of eternity to spend that with him. But now we've got to accept that first. We don't just get that because grandma got that. We got to get that for ourselves. We have to come to a place where we recognize who Jesus is, what he did for us on the cross, that he was buried and raised again, and then we would receive forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And that should motivate us to do everything that we do. But the scripture goes on. Here, verse 32, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. They saw it happen. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Verse 36. So let everyone, you need to circle that, underline it, highlight it, whatever you got, you need to do it. Everyone in Jerusalem know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. That's right. That's good stuff. He made him to be Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Translation, now what? Now what? I understand. Now what? What do I do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. See, it's biblical. I can do it. strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That's good stuff. Listen, that's what the church is all about. That's the beginning of the church. When we come in here and we sit and we just kind of do our little thing and we kind of wiggle down, make sure the little chair is just comfortable enough and all of that stuff. Listen, that's not what it's about. It's not about being comfortable in a building. It's about understanding who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's understanding that the church is designed for us to be the vehicle to spread this good news of the gospel. It's meant to be a bunch of people coming and asking the question, now what? See, the disciples were asking that. They've been with Jesus. He died. They ask, now what? He comes back to life, and they say, now what? He teaches them about how they're supposed to live, and then he goes into heaven. They say, now what? Before he leaves, though, he says, listen, you need to go and tell other people about me. You need to go tell other people and help them to ask the question, now what? Go to Albemarle and get people to ask, now what? Go to Stanley County and to North Carolina and get them to ask, now what? Go to America, go wherever it is that he sends you, and get people to ask, now what? Then go overseas, wherever it is that he sends you, and get people to ask you and to ask him, now what? That's what the church is to be. If you ask me, what is the church, Ron? What is it? I know we can get hung up on a lot of things, and we can talk about the institution of the church. We can talk about the business of the church, because yes, it is a business. You have to manage it well. You have to be a good steward and all that. So you can ask me those questions. But if you truly just, what is the church? Here's what the church is. It's a bunch of people so overwhelmed by the gospel of Jesus Christ who have come to a place where they've asked, now what? And they have taken it serious to go and get other people to ask, now what? That's what we're to do. My goal isn't to just get people to come so I can give some eloquent talk or so they can hear good music. No, it's to get them to ask, now what? What do I do with this? You know what? You got to ask that question. All of us have to come to that place. That's what Pentecost was all about. It was about Peter and the apostles getting them to ask, now what? And when they did, you see what now what looked like. 3,000 or so became believers in Jesus and were changed for all of eternity. That's what was now what. So we got to be willing to do that. Be willing to get people to ask that question for themselves and to take that and get other people to ask it for themselves as well. That's what we're to do. See, I don't know what brought you here today. You know, maybe you're here today for the very first time. Maybe you've never even been in church before. That happens all the time, believe it or not. We have people come, they've never been in a church. You know what? Maybe that's not you. Maybe you haven't missed a Sunday in 20 years. But guess what? You both have to ask, now what? Maybe somebody drug you here this morning. He made you feel guilty for laying in bed on Sunday. So you came just to make them happy. Guess what? You still have to ask yourself that same question. Now what? Maybe you've been serving him and you've been active and you've been looking for what's next and you think you've today, whether you have an established relationship, whether you're just not even sure if this whole thing, God, exists. Everybody has to ask, now what? What is it that you want from me? So here's the point today. Here's what you got to ask yourself. Today's not a statement. It's a question. I want you to write this down. What is my now what? What is my now what? You know why we don't ask that question? We're stinking scared of it. We're scared it's going to take us outside of something that we're very comfortable in. I think about where the the now what's of my life. You know, God, the way God has kind of brought me along and done things and brought me through situations and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the now what's were hard. I'm not going to lie to you. 3 months ago to ask, when I knew that High Rock wasn't going to keep this campus open and this church wasn't going to exist here, and I had to ask, now what? Man, I'm telling you, it was hard. One, it was hard to see God's work have the potential to end here, but the other was to have to step up and take on something that I just never saw myself doing. But I had to say, now what? And then when he spoke and he told me now what, I had to listen. I had to follow. Now, I don't know what it is for every single one of you. I don't know what your now what is. But I can tell you, he has one for you. He knows what it is. I believe he's just waiting on you to ask the question. And you know what? When you ask it, you better be ready for the answer. I don't want to scare you. You know, I'm not saying he's going to send you to Africa, you know, and live in a hut. I'm not saying he's going to send you to London, you know, and you have to talk funny, like, you know, that whole accent thing. I'm not saying he's going to do any of that stuff. I'm just saying, you know what? He might make you walk across the street and invite your neighbor to come to church with you next Sunday. And for some of us, that's just terrifying. I get that. It may mean that we got to get something out of our lives. It may mean that, you know, we're not going to be able to make that stop on the way home that we always make, where we hang out with our buddies and have a few. So that might not be what he wants for your life. You know, it may mean that that relationship you're in that's not good. It may mean that you're going to have to make some decisions about it. It may mean that relationship you're in that's not so good. It may mean you're going to have to change and make it better. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe today it's that you're at a place where you say, you know what, I know that God's not my life. I know I don't have a relationship with him, but I believe that there is something for me in that. I get this. I believe that Jesus did die for my sin. I believe that. I believe he died for my sin, he was buried, and he was raised again. He did that just so I could have a relationship with him. So you got to ask, now what? Now what means that for that you accept it, that you ask him to forgive you of your sins, that you repent of them, which means you turn and go the opposite direction of them. You live your life differently, and you focus on him and doing the things that he wants you to do. You begin to learn about him and what he wants for you from his word. See, if some of us, we think we got this church thing down pat. And when we ask now what, that's going to mean we're going to have to take it a little bit deeper. And we're going to have to maybe begin to serve and do some things to allow the ministry to continue. Some of you are sitting here today, I'm just going to be honest, you're sitting here today and you're saying, I don't have any friends here. I don't know anybody here. I've been here a long time. I don't have any friends. Nobody knows me. Nobody cares. Nobody knows when I'm not here. I mean, I've been down that road. I know what that's like. You know what? I'm just going to tell you, what have you done to make a friend? I don't want to put it all off on you, but I also want you to understand that there are ways to have friends. You want friends here? You want to get to know people? Go serve beside them. Go out in the parking lot and help people park their cars, or go up in the sound booth and help learn how to do the sound, or, you know, or go out there and just serve somebody coffee. Listen, if you serve coffee, you'll get to know like 90% of this bunch. Coffee is drinking this bunch I've ever seen. But go out there and serve, and you'll just go stand by the table and tell people you're glad they're here. You'll get to know them. Here's a better way. Next Sunday, we're going to have life group sign-ups. You want to get to know some people and build some friendships and get to really dig into to having some people around you when life gets tough? Go join a life group. Some of you are saying, what's a life group? It's a small group of people that gets together. They're like-minded. They have some things in common kind of already. Or maybe they don't, but they just get together and they just want to be more like God wants them to be. And they begin to just hang out together. And they, you know, Monday, I'll just tell you, tomorrow night, men, we're going to be at Domino's here in Albemarle. We're going to go watch Monday Night Football together. I'm going to do a little devotion, and we're going to eat pizza, and I already know banana pudding is on the way. So here's the reality. You get to hang out together. You get to grow in Jesus. You get to make some friends, and you get to eat. I'm all for that, all right? So that's the reality of what you can do to plug yourself in. Wherever you are, your now what question may just be to make some friends with somebody, because listen, you may be lonely. The person on the other end of your aisle may be lonely too. Go get to know them. And now your now what question has not only made you who you're supposed to be, it's helping somebody else be who they're supposed to be. Listen, the church is not some organization that's supposed to tell you what you're supposed to do. We're to equip you to ask the question, now what, so that it may be that you get more involved in the ministry of it, or you just go and you begin to be part of doing what's supposed to be done. Your now what is greater than just what I can stand up here and tell you to do. That needs to come from you and your relationship with God. So when we talk about who we are, if we're going to be the church that we're supposed to be, that means all of us, every single one of us, are going to have to ask, now what? What do you want me to do? And then when we hear it, guess what? We got to go do it. What's your now what question? If you're taking the next step with me today, on the back of your connection card is a little box, and it says, I want to take today's next step. Today's next step is this, that you're going to ask yourself that question, what's my now what? If you're willing to take that with me, because I'm going to be praying it for myself, and I'm going to be praying it for you as you ask. But if you're willing to take that, just mark that on your connection card. Those connection cards are valuable to us. They not only tell us who you are and how we can communicate with you, but they tell us how we can pray for you. And they tell us where you are in your walk with Christ. Maybe today you need to accept him and be saved and just know that you're forgiven of your sins and you're made right with him and you're going to spend eternity in heaven. If today you want to make that decision, then do it right where you are, but let us know so that we can come alongside and walk you through it. Maybe you just want to talk to one of the pastors about it, myself or Gabe or Pastor Eddie back there. You just got some questions that you need answered. Then make sure you put that on a card and we will contact you and we'll be glad to do that. But the reality is what's next for you? Now what? Now what? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here, God, not just to spend some time in a building on Moss Springs Road, God, but to be in your presence and to be able to just ask you what you want for us. God, that this now what question has just burned in my heart all week as I've tried to really, for myself, wrap every part of me around it. God, it's important that we do that for you so that we can be all that you created us to be. There's not one person in here, God, you know that you didn't create one person in this room as a mistake. You didn't create one of them by accident. God, no, every single person in this room was created for you, by you, so that you could put a purpose in them to be exactly what you wanted them to be. So I pray that today that they'll pray that prayer along with me. That what is my now what? So God, today as the band plays, may you just impress on our hearts what you need us to do. Maybe for some of us, our now what is we come and we just confess our sin to you. Maybe today it's that we just come and we pray for our relationship that's not going the way that you designed it to go. God, maybe for some of us, it's that we're struggling with something in our lives that's taking us away from you. Maybe it's that today that someone's here and they're struggling financially and they just don't know what to do next, because the bank's getting ready to come get it all. God, I don't know what that need is today, but God, you do, and you know the answer. So God, may we not be afraid to ask. May we be willing to ask and be willing to follow through on whatever you say for us to do. God, bless us today as we ask you that question. In Jesus' name, amen.